Welcome to the podcast of the First Presbyterian Church of Englewood, a community committed to live boldly, share boundlessly, grow community, and build God's world. Please visit us in person or at englewoodpres.org.
Our second lesson today is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, there is that age-old question, right? What do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up? No matter how old you are, it's still a question. What do you want to be? But that question always got answered in terms of function, right? So people would always say, oh, you know, I want to be a firefighter, I want to be a police officer, I want to be a physician. But morally, ethically, as a Christian, what do you want to be? Okay? This is at the crux of the passage that we have today, where Jesus takes a lot of commands that we've heard and then expands them and extends them in a way that makes us uncomfortable. But it's one of the things that I want to lay out for you as background, that we often have an inaccurate depiction of what it means for Jesus to take these commands that appear in the Hebrew Scriptures and then reinterpret them in light of Christianity. For example, we often hear this passage, an eye for an eye, right? Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. We hear about that, and we hear about Jesus having then said, but you are to turn the other cheek when people harm you. You're not supposed to take revenge. And we tend to be taught in a way that makes it sound as if the Hebrew Scriptures were the bad old way, and then the Christian way is the good new way of thinking about it, as if it's bad versus good. But the reality is that it's really a matter of a spectrum, a matter of a progression, a matter of a continuum along which God has been bringing God's people since the beginning. I mean, when you go back to the very beginning, there is no civilization, there is no culture, there is nothing. The only thing you had to protect yourself was you and your clan, your relatives. And in that environment, there was a culture of revenge. And this culture of revenge was not one of eye for eye. It was, you take my finger, I take your hand. You kill my cousin, I kill your brother. All right? It was over and above. In fact, we all remember that great movie about 30 years old now? Boy, am I old. That great movie, The Untouchables, remember, with Sean Connery and Kevin Costner? And they had that famous scene, you've seen it 1,000 times, where they're sitting in a church and Kevin Costner's trying to recruit Sean Connery to help him get Al Capone. And Sean Connery says, well, you know, if you want to get Capone, here's what you got to do. And he says, right, you can probably say it with me almost, but he says, you know, if he comes at you with a knife, you bring out a gun. And he says, if he puts one of yours in the hospital, you put one of his in the morgue. Okay? That's a very worldly, very natural way to think about how we deal with offenses. That this is, you know, when you were dealing with a guy like Al Capone, a person to whom law meant nothing. So it is this attitude of lawlessness. The way that you would deal with him is to go over and above in doing back to him whatever he did to you. Puts one of yours in the hospital, put one of his in the morgue. Eye for an eye was an improvement on this. Eye for an eye was a regulation around this. It was a limitation around this. Eye for an eye was moving from this totally uncivilized notion of revenge and moving us forward into calibrated, measured justice. It was a limitation on what you could do. Okay? And then Jesus comes along and takes this passage and moves it forward. He takes us on this next step in the journey. Okay, we've moved from over and above revenge to proportional vengeance to no vengeance. And in this path, as God has been moving us along, Jesus said things that probably make us feel, okay, Jesus, I'm not so sure I can really go there. Okay, I'm not so sure. You know, do not resist an evildoer. I think you see that command and go, really? Really? Is this what I'm supposed to do? Do not resist an evildoer. Or this one. Give to everyone who begs from you. Okay? I think everyone just put their hand on their wallet. Mentally. Give to everyone who begs from you. What happens? What happens if you try to do this literally? It's a very, very difficult question that we have. But the idea that I would put forth to you is that it's less a question about specific literal obedience to the command, and more about this progression that God has had us on since the beginning of time of moving from lawlessness and very human-oriented instincts and behaviors toward thinking of the world and behaving in the world the way God would have us behave. And that calls us to be over and above what is the norm of our society at the time. Eye for an eye was above and beyond it as an improvement over two eyes for an eye. All right? It moved us better. It made us better. And this comparison is something Jesus makes clear because he says, right? He says, you know, if you only greet your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? How different are you? But do not even the Gentiles do the same? In other words, what difference are you demonstrating? How has Christ made you different than the culture? If there isn't an extent to which our faith has moved us up over and above and beyond the way the world works, then faith has made no real practical difference. See, the lure of the world, the lure of worldly temptation is really strong. See, as soon as you hear something like, do not resist an evildoer, or give to everyone who begs from you, I know what people say. They basically say this. But, you know, it's the way the world works. You know, we can't do that. It's the way the world works. We can't be like that in this world. And that's the way the world works is an explanation that people give all the time when they're trying to avoid doing what Jesus tells us to do. They're like, we can't do that because, you know, it's just the way the world works. The problem is that if you think about it, that's the way the world works is offered up by people as a supposedly mature, grown-up, practical, pragmatic view of the world. I'm a pragmatist. I understand how the world works. But that's the way the world works is actually just a grown-up version of saying, but all the other kids are doing it. We know how well that works, right? You know, the kid says, but Mom, all the other kids are doing it. And what do you say? Don't be like the other kids. That's your answer. You're supposed to be better than the other kids. And this is Jesus' response to us. When we try to say, but Jesus, all the other kids are doing it. And Jesus is like, yeah, but you're my kids. My kids don't do that. I think a few of you have said that to a child along the way. My kids don't do that. And that's what Jesus is inspiring us toward. Jesus is trying to tell us that we have to be acting more like Jesus. And in this passage, he lays out at a very fundamental level one of the most basic things, which is that God treats everyone the same. You know, this is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. When people talk about bad things happening and stuff like that, you fall back on this passage. It's such an incredible verse where Jesus says, you know, God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. That what God does not do is treat people differently. God's love is for all. And you don't sit there and you think, well, why is it raining in my life? Well, it is. And God sends rain on the good and the evil. Why is the sun shining on me today? It's great, it is. But God sends sun on the righteous and the unrighteous. But if we are to emulate God, then that also has to be the way we look at the world. That our sun has to be willing to shine on both the good and the bad in our lives. We have to act the way God wants us to act. And that equality of action is, by the way, if you'll permit me to go into nerd mode for just a moment, it's actually one of the things that's incredibly different about our scriptures. You know, that statement, eye for an eye, is not original to scripture. This notion of eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, actually dates all the way back to the Code of Hammurabi, you know, the oldest known code of justice in civilization. It predates the Old Testament, the Code of Hammurabi. But in that code was a very interesting thing, that the notion of eye for an eye was there, except that whether it was truly an eye for an eye depended on the class of the person who was the victim or the offender. That depending on the class of the person, the punishment changed. It wasn't universal. And so this notion of saying eye for eye, tooth for tooth, regardless of who it is, was a tremendous step forward, not just in limiting the desire for vengeance, but also a step forward in saying that we treat everyone equally under the law. We treat everyone equally. And so then should you. That you go out into the world and treat everyone equally. Now, that's hard. I mean, I know it's hard. It's impossible for me. I can't treat everyone equally. It doesn't, you know, but you have to want to try, and that's the goal. See, when Jesus says, be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect, all right, I want you to think about what this word means. This word perfect is this Greek word telos, and it's a word that talks about completion. And it's a word that commonly was used to describe like arriving at your destination or hitting your target. And that concept of hitting your target is really interesting in terms of scholarship around scripture, because the Greek word for sin, hamartia, means to miss the target. And so they were both like, they're both words that ended up getting used in archery. You know, you missed or you hit. Okay? And so as you think about this notion of perfect being bullseyes, or, you know, you're like Katniss in the Hunger Games, all right? Every single time, bullseye. And sin is missing the target. And over and above, through this, is this question of what are you aiming at? Is your aim actually in the direction of Christ? Okay? Or have you decided that your aim is everyone else? Your aim is to be like the world. Your aim is to be like your neighbors. Is that actually the aim Jesus wants for you? Or is your aim the Christ-like life? See, I wonder if we really desire to be like Christ. To me, that's the question here. It's not so much, can I ever get to the point where I will resist no evildoer against me, where I will turn the other cheek every single time that it slapped, whether I will give to everyone who begs for me. The question of whether I can achieve that is not my question. Because the answer to that question is no. I'll never do it perfectly. I'm not going to achieve perfection. I'm not going to hit that bullseye every time in this life. The question is, what am I aiming at? The question for you is, what are you aiming at? Where's your target? Where has your target been? And where will your target be tomorrow and the day after? Will it be, to use that archer's kind of image, this notion that maybe the first time you miss everything? Maybe you've had times in your life where really you missed everything. I've seen people like that. By the way, if you ever want to see that, go to a rifle range sometime and look around and see where some of the scars are in the walls. And you go, wow, I didn't know it was possible to miss a target by that much. And sometimes in our lives it feels that way. Wow, I didn't know it was possible to miss a target by that much. But if you aim and you learn and you practice and you try, pretty soon you start getting better at it. Pretty soon you start getting inside the rings. Pretty soon you even occasionally hit a bullseye. And that's our goal. And the target isn't set by the world. The target is set by Christ. At levels that are almost unimaginably hard. But that's not an excuse to not have that be the target at which we aim. Amen.